It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Got one friend, and the friend is morning.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Considered a national holiday, and I know there's plenty of you that are kind of blowing off today because it is the start, official start of the NCAA tournament. We are on the road, broadcasting live from Winner's Circle out in New Haven, inviting you to come on out and join us. We're here until 6 o'clock. We're loaded down with prizes. Plus, plenty of specials we'll tell you about as we progress through the show. Look at all these games going on the screens that we've got along the wall just to our left. Hey, it's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6, with Adam Lundy, Brett Rump. We've got Baylen Brake pulling some weekday duty back in the studio as he produces the show today. Already, we have had one upset. Most of the tournament so far, well, I guess you'd have to consider, since Michigan State was the 9 seed, that that's an upset. But I don't.
Technically.
I would imagine more people took Izzo in March than took Mississippi State to win that game. But the Spartans have advanced. And then how about the Dukies of Duquesne? Yeah, I'm not talking about the Blue Devils. I'm talking about Duquesne. Hey, a quick test. Where is Duquesne University located? What city is Duquesne?
I don't know.
I didn't think you'd know. Do you know where it is? It's Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
See, look at that. We've got listeners that are smarter than you, Adam. They're coming
surprised.
Up here. They already got the answers.
Catholic school beat up on the Mormons.
See, this guy knows everything. He's got the whole bio on Duquesne. They got one win in the tournament, and he knows everything about it. See, that's one of the big advantages for these schools that get into the tournament.
Yeah.
Is the exposure they get. They're able to, you know, get their name out there. People learn a little bit about the university, where it's at, so it increases enrollment. But Duquesne gets the upset of the day so far. An 11 over a number 6 as Duquesne beats BYU today. Also, you've got Creighton taking care of business against Akron.
Yeah.
And so Ali is done.
Yep.
Former East Noble product who played for the Zips. Do you know where Akron is, Adam?
I'm going to guess Akron, Ohio.
No, you see, I got an easy one just to make just if we to save some pace today.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. But also, it looks like Arizona is going to end the era of Dan Munson in Long Beach State. Of course, that was one of the awkward situations of the week, where Dan Munson and Long Beach State, they say mutually agreed to part ways. That was not at all mutual, and Dan Munson is not real happy about the fact that he was replaced or is being replaced at Long Beach State. And then they go on a run. They win their conference tournament. They get an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament, and they put out their best against Arizona, but Arizona just too strong. And so the Wildcats are going to advance. Right now, Arizona is leading that game. Well, I guess it's gone final, hasn't it? Or has it?
I have 82-60 Arizona with 3 minutes left.
I'm putting it Sharpie for me. That's
wow.
22-point lead, 3 minutes left. I'm putting that one in the books already.
No faith in the Beach.
Go ahead and mark my bracket, another successful pick.
which one?
Yeah, no, it just depends which bracket we look at. I know one of them. I had Arizona, at least one. But anyway, North Carolina's got a 15-point lead on Wagner. Illinois and Morehead State. This is closer than most Fighting Illini fans are wanting. Right now, it's just a 2-point game.
3-point game.
Oh, it's a 3-point game. Thanks for correcting me as they add a point. It's 32-29. And then And then games that we've got coming up yet this afternoon, South Carolina, Oregon. Also, we will have Dayton, Nevada. I think that's going to be a heck of a game.
Oh, yeah, I have to agree. Looking forward to that one.
Come on out, see us. We're hanging out here in New Haven. It's Winner's Circle, and if you like specials along with your college basketball, we've got them because we've got Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, and Yuengling Drafts, just $2.75. You want to get it in a bottle? That's great because they've got the buckets of Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra. You get the bottles in the buckets for $20. Also, great food specials like candied bacon appetizers for $7. You get 10 wings for $8.50. Sweet chili shrimp appetizers, $9. And they're running those specials all weekend long. Plus, they'll do it next weekend as we have the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. So, come on out. This is a great place. Nice open atmosphere. We've still got some tables available. You know, don't go in there and stuff yourself into some little cramped place where you think it's the place to be. Well, the place to be today is Winner's Circle. And you know what's great about this? How many places can you go today? Just think about this, Adam. How many places can you go, watch games, place bets, and get cash when you hit your bet?
I can only think of one, Brett, and that's right here at Winter Circle, New Haven.
Adam, you're now 2-for-3.
Let's go.
Making a great recovery after missing on Duquesne. Right here, you can place a bet. They've got the kiosk. You can just go up, place a bet. They've got a window in the back. You can go up, place the bet with a live teller. Is that a teller, cashier?
Bookie, wouldn't it be?
No, I'm not going to call him a bookie. Just going to call him the guy at the desk.
Okay, guy at the desk.
But you can place your bet, and then you can cash in. So when your bet hits and your team wins, you can go ahead and collect actual cash. It's not money that gets transferred into an account that you then have to try to request a withdrawal, and you might or might not see that show up in your account for days. No, you actually get the cash immediately. So that you can buy drinks.
Right here?
Yeah, right here. All right, so, so the strange story of the day.
Yeah.
Last 2 days, I woke up. You know, it's nice going to bed with basketball and waking up with baseball because that's been the story the last couple of days, right?
Fantastic.
You get up in the morning, and you've got the Padres-Dodgers from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But big breaking story that everybody was all over this morning was the Shohei Ohtani situation.
Yeah.
And right now, it's almost like somebody posting a picture on social media and putting no caption. And it's kind of like, okay, we've got some facts, but we don't know the whole story. We're still trying to put the pieces together. And this, to me, it's just an odd situation. The translator who has been working with the Dodgers as a translator for Shohei Ohtani. So apparently, this is the latest story as I understand it, is that the translator ran up some betting debts and took money from Shohei Ohtani's account, wire transferred $500,000 to a sports gambling connection where he paid off gambling debt. Now, Adam, I don't know about you, but if I make a transaction with my bank, it doesn't have to be $500,000 for me to get some type of an alert of activity on my card or on my bank account. I don't know what a guy that makes the money that Shohei Ohtani makes, what his alerts would be set at. But if somebody was dropping $500,000 into an account or a money transfer, a wire transfer, I would think somebody would have to say, wait a minute, we ought to verify this with the account owner just to make sure there's not some kind of fraud or something going on here. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a pretty penny. I feel like this is one of those stories that until we get to the bottom of it, we're just going to have more questions than answers, honestly, just because there's so many open-ended questions to be asked about what the heck is even going on.
Biggest question we've got is Shohei Ohtani a victim or a villain? Is he guilty or is he a victim? Because, you know, you could have, you've got multiple ways that this could go. Number one, this could be a cover for what Ohtani ran up in gambling debts.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this could be a guy that somehow got access to Shohei Ohtani's account and did actually steal $1 million. This could be a situation where Shohei Ohtani wanted to help somebody. And, you know, when you've got millions and millions and billions and millions of dollars that he's got, decided it would be good for their relationship if he kind of just got him out of debt, tried to help him if he had a gambling issue. Does Shohei Ohtani, was he responsible for these bets? Were these bets placed for him? And then it doesn't even get to the part about it being in California where sports betting is illegal.
Right. It's an illegal bookie who's under federal investigation.
Yeah. So there's a lot of questions that have to be investigated, still have to be answered with this whole situation. But the fact that the Dodgers just pick up Shohei Ohtani with that huge contract, and now he's kind of the center of baseball for all the wrong reasons. And, of course, people are starting to make comparisons with Pete Rose, the Pete Rose situation, which is totally different. And it's a totally different subject to talk about because Pete Rose didn't have other people involved. There wasn't money that was coming out of his account that was being funneled through another person. And so, you know, that nothing even matches here with Pete Rose. Now, my thing, though, is that baseball has evolved. We're in a new generation, and, you know, baseball is valuing the money that is available through some of the sports gambling sites and so the casinos, etc. And as you know, if they're going to make it mainstream and acceptable, you know, things change over time. And you know, sports gambling used to be something we thought of almost like the mafia, like it was the underworld or something like that.
Yeah.
That if you had a bookie, that you were on the dark side, right? Well, now it's very mainstream. I mean, it's like I said, we're sitting here at Winner's Circle, and we can absolutely 100% legally just walk up to the counter. We can place a sports bet right now.
We sure can.
And we can we can get paid back on that in, if we hit it. And so it's a totally different world right now, but kind of an interesting story that we're going to have to follow. Come on out, join us. We've got some prizes. Look at what we got here. We got the T-shirts. We've got the winter stocking cap, which hopefully you don't need much more of.
Yeah, but it'll be great for next winter.
You've got the hoops in the 260 shirts. We've got a few of them that we've got left over from the high school basketball season. We'd love for you to pick up one of those. We've got beer koozies. We've got we're giving away Caleb Hatch too. I don't know how he made it. I don't know how he made it onto our prize table, but Caleb Hatch is here, everybody. So
Heck yeah,
it's a bonus opportunity to meet half of the morning show.
How about that?
Should we call him the better half since he's the one that's here?
Since he's here, yeah. We'll say he's the better half.
Well, and also he's the boss. So,
that too.
So we probably should call him the better half while he's here. Come on out, say hi, hang out with us, watch some games. Right now, what's going on the TV right now? North Carolina and Wagner, which I guess Wagner's still alive. They're down 12, second half.
12 minutes left.
Yeah, with 12 minutes to go. We also have Illinois finally on the positive side against Morehead State. That's a game that Illinois has spent a lot of time trailing, and they now lead at 36-31 with just a little over 3 minutes left in the first half. But you can come out here and hang with us. We're here until 6 o'clock broadcasting the show live. We'll keep you up on what's happening with the NCAA tournament. And, of course, look ahead to tonight. Some of the matchups. Oakland from the Horizon League. They're going to be taking on Kentucky. Can Oakland play the David against the Goliath of Kentucky? We'll see. That game actually kind of starts the night sessions almost. You've got Texas, Colorado State at 6:50, and then Kentucky, Oakland are going to be following at 7:10. I like this Gonzaga-McNeese State game.
A lot of people.
If... I guess one question to ask, and of course you can always text us on our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. That is still open. You can text us at 46862. What is the game that you're looking most forward to? And I'm going to take Purdue out of this. I don't want all Purdue fans to say, I'm looking forward to Purdue. What is the game that you think is going to be the best game, the must watch out of this first couple of rounds? I think there's a handful of games that I look at and think they could be really competitive. I like the matchup. For instance, FAU Northwestern. Northwestern shorthanded. Couple of guys that are injured. Ty Berry, Nicholson. They've lost their big man. They lost one of their perimeter guards. But they still have Boo Booey. And so you've got a matchup of Boo Booey versus John L. Davis. How about that? Two big name players going head to head. That game will actually be the noon game tomorrow. Other games, I mentioned McNeese State against Gonzaga. I think that's fascinating because I think McNeese State has a definite shot to pull off the 12-5 upset in that one. I'm just kind of scanning.
Sure.
Colorado, Florida. I was so sure that Colorado was going to beat Florida because Florida, they also dealing with injuries. Oh, I know the game. Where's it at on here? Kansas. When does Kansas? Oh, Kansas plays tonight. They play Samford tonight. They might be okay tonight. But without Kevin McCullers, that's going to be a team that I think struggles to get very far in the tournament. And that's not a bad thing for Indiana, for Purdue.
Not bad at all. We got a listener on the text line saying Marquette, Western Kentucky. They're taking the Western Kentucky upset.
Wow.
That game is tomorrow at 2 p.m.
We haven't heard from Whiskers yet, have we?
Not yet.
Haven't had Whiskers weigh in. Brian is here. Of course, we'll talk to Brian a little bit later when he gets a chance to sit down with us. We'll talk to him 15, 20 minutes. He's the boss here at Winter Circle. And we had such a fun time. We were here last time that we kind of begged Brian to please let us come back.
Let
us come back. We can do a show from here because we did like a Sunday afternoon. And, of course, it was a beautiful day outside. And we were in here. I don't remember what we were even watching that day. Do you remember what was on that day?
No. Nope.
All I know, as I said, we want to come back when there's some energy. We want to come back for the college basketball NCAA tournament. And so here we are. But now the missing piece is you. You need to come out here and see us. You can stop by. They've got a great menu, so you can have a bite to eat. You can get a drink after work. Coors Light, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Yingling, 275 drafts. And then you've got Coors Light, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, bottle buckets for just $20. Come on out and see us. We've got some people that are kind of drifting in as we get the show rolling here at Winter Circle, New Haven. That is corner of Minnick and Highway 30, and we're just like a minute and a half away from 469. All right, it's time to see what else is happening in the world of sports today. So let's go ahead and scan the globe. Here it comes, today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right, let's get into it, Brett. Indiana forward Malik Renew is returning to Bloomington for his junior season. Renew made the announcement today on the Hoosier Hysterics podcast. An All Big Ten honorable mention selection as a sophomore, Renew averaged 15.5 points, 6 rebounds, and 2.7 assists. The 6'9" native of Miami, Florida, joins Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal as key returnees for Indiana, which will have to utilize the transfer portal to fill out the 24-25 roster. Michigan defensive line coach Greg Scruggs resigned today, 5 days after being arrested in Ann Arbor for operating a vehicle while intoxicated. Wolverines coach Sharon Moore confirmed in a statement that he had received Scruggs' resignation, adding that he could not comment because the situation is, quote, a university matter. And Matt Zona and Alex Wade are transferring out of the men's Notre Dame Fighting Irish basketball team. It was announced by both players on their social media pages today. Wade appeared in 8 games this past season for the Irish, and Zona averaged 2.3 points and 2.3 boards for the team. And that's a look at your top stories.
I don't know a thing you just said. All I can hear is the music. So I have no idea. I could not hear you. But anyway, thank you, Adam.
Absolutely.
Today's top headlines. All right, we'll take a break. Still coming up. Last night, a very good night for a local college I guess university, because both men and women were winners advancing in postseason play. Also, we'll check updated scores. We're going to talk to Brian, the manager here at Winner's Circle, coming up later this hour. You know, it's a big time of year for Winner's Circle, and we'll tell you why it's so big. Not just the basketball games that are going on for the next 3 weeks, but also, there's a little something else they do here at Winner's Circle that we've got to tell you about. Hour number two, Eric Dutkiewicz from Parkview Sports Medicine will join us live and in person. So stick with us and come on by here until 6 o'clock at Winner's Circle in New Haven. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Adam, I don't want this to go past you and me, but so far in this tournament, our listeners might be proving they're a little smarter than both of us.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've got our listener bracket that we filled out over the last couple of days. And wouldn't you know that our listeners, and I can't remember which one it was that we got on the line, that picked Duquesne to knock off BYU. It was not Whiskers, because that was not one of the Whiskers matchups, but Duquesne was a pick. And we mentioned Caleb Hatch is here with us, and Caleb, I know I didn't pick Duquesne. I mean, they played terrific last week in the A-10 tournament, but I was not going to give them anything more, even with the Keith Dambrot retiring and, you know, that extra emotion. I didn't give them enough credit to beat BYU. Adam didn't give Duquesne enough credit to beat BYU. What about you?
I had BYU in the Elite Eight, so my bracket's already busted.
Oh,
dear. But don't worry. Come Monday, I'll be able to redeem myself, and we'll tell you details on the morning show on how you can redeem yourself with a busted bracket.
Popping in with a tease. How do you like that?
That's right.
By the way, you believe that Illinois was going to lose today or the weekend because you found a little factoid on the Big Ten tournament winner.
Yeah, Big Ten tournament winners since 2019 have not advanced past the first weekend. So I had zero faith. And I had Illinois winning today, but after seeing the first half, I see the upset coming.
All right, so at what point does the Big Ten need to take notice? And like, how many years would it take before the Big Ten finally is pushed into a corner to maybe consider changes to the format for the Big Ten tournament?
Well, it's been nearly, 25 years, and they haven't had a champion, so you think it's been enough. I think part of the problem with the Big Ten is just we talked about this at length, especially on the morning show last season, but it's just the officiating's different, right? So they officiate differently. The focus in the Big Ten for a lot of teams are big men and not guard play. So they have to change how they recruit, how they officiate, and the Big Ten has to get serious about winning in men's basketball.
I think it's a big negative against Big Ten. I think any conference that has late tournaments where you play back to back to back. I mean, I think when you have to play four games in 4 days, that takes an amazing toll. And the thing is, I think you can get your body back into shape to go out and play a high energy game and have enough endurance to go up and down the court. I think where you see it is later in the game at the free throw line or later in the game at the 3-point line, where maybe you just don't have your legs.
Yeah, well, and I think the other thing, I mean, remember next year the Big Ten tournament is going to change. So not everyone's going to make it. You're going to have four additional teams in the conference regular season. So maybe that could make it a little bit different with how they set it up, since I think they'll take 14, I believe.
15.
15? Well, 15, okay,
in the 15 tournament.
out of the 18. So maybe that will change something. But I just, for whatever reason, it's not worked. And if it doesn't work for Purdue this year, I don't want to think about that.
See, I brought up a thought or a proposal that the Big Ten take an entire week to run their tournament. I think there's enough days during the calendar to be able to get in their conference games a couple of days early, finish it up on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then by Monday they can start their tournament, because it's only going to affect on Monday or Tuesday. It would only affect some of the bottom half teams in the Big Ten Conference. And then you could even have a bye day built in. So let's say, Thursday you get a bye, maybe Saturday you get a bye, or Wednesday, Friday. Some way you build in a bye system. So it does take 1 week to complete it, and nobody has to win like five games, 5 days, back to back to back. Because What do you do to reward somebody who does that? They have to go off to a tournament, and it's very possible if a team goes 5 for 5, they're also going to be one of those that plays in the first four. And so they get like 2 days of rest, and they're right back on the court. And just from a conference standpoint, since there is money attached with each round a team advances in the tournament, you would think financially it would be worth it to them to look at options that might make it easier for their teams and try to save as much of their legs and energy as they possibly can.
Well, and remember a few years back when they had the tournament at Madison Square Garden, because of the Big East having the prime weekend date locked in, the Big Ten had to do it a week early. So it's not to say they couldn't do something like that in the future. Look, let's not kid ourselves. We know the Big Ten tournament is going to be moving out to the West Coast, whether it's L.A. or Vegas, in probably the next 5 years. So maybe that's what they try to do in the future.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Of course, coming up, we're going to have Brian, our general manager here at Winter Circle in New Haven. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk not only about some of the things that are happening special with the tournament going on over the next couple of weeks, some of the great specials they've got, some of the new items on the menu, but also it's time to kick off another sports season, which is very big here at Winter Circle. And we'll tell you the details of that coming up as well. Eric Dutut-Kevis joins us in hour number two. We'll preview Purdue. Now that we know who they play, the Boilermakers take on Grambling State. And that game will be tomorrow night at 7:25 down in Indianapolis. Should Purdue be concerned with this Grambling team, and what does Grambling do that could cause Purdue problems? It's all coming up as we watch games. We invite you to stop out and see us. Winner's Circle here until 6 o'clock today. We're back tomorrow from 4 to 6 with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Maria Marcusano, head women's basketball coach at Purdue Fort Wayne, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Big win to open up the WNIT for the women's basketball team at Purdue Fort Wayne as Maria Marcusano and her squad will head to Cincinnati next.
The Bearcats.
That game will be Sunday or Monday, and officially waiting for the formal announcement from the WNIT. We are broadcasting live today from Winter Circle out in New Haven. And now here's a couple of things I want to mention to you. Number one, if you've been here before, you know, and maybe it's been a while ago, you should come out and explore this great new setup. It's wide open here from wall to wall. You can see all the way across the place. A beautiful bar right in the middle. TVs that circle around the entire bar so you can hang out, get quick access to your drinks, and enjoy all kinds of sports action. In fact, what they've got going there, they've got some horse races and basketball games going on.
I'll tell you what, if Nikola Jokic were here right now, he'd be having the time of his life.
It's perfect for Nikola. Now, over at the other side, you've where the room we're in, we've got wall-to-wall with the NCAA games going on. And then way on the far side, you've got all the horse racing action that's going on today. So, you know, it's a great place to just come hang out because you can get a bite to eat, you can enjoy some great drink specials, and you can also easily place your bets on the action. And the great thing is it's not going to drop into an account where then you have to worry about transfers and all of that. No, you actually get some cash in hand when you're a winner. And speaking of winners, you know, the manager here is one of our winners. It's Brian, who is hanging out with us right now. And start of the tournament, one of the big times of the year for you out here at Winter Circle.
Oh, yeah. This is probably our three of the biggest days we can have outside the Super Bowl as far as sports betting going on.
And of course, the games are going on. Are you a bracket guy?
I've done my share.
How's your bracket look so far?
Well,
nothing too shocking so far,
no,
other than Duquesne.
Yeah, that kind of angers me because I went back and forth on that game. You know, the story of every person that fell in a bracket.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you always look for the motivation for a team that might be an underdog. And with Coach Dambrot,
announcing his retirement from Duquesne. You think that might give them a little bounce, but I still was a little surprised by that one. But our listeners bracket, which we took calls this week, random calls, and had listeners tell us who they were picking. And as we went through with all different listeners, we had them fill out different games. Do you know our listeners bracket actually called the Duquesne game? So somebody gets a lot of credit for getting that one right.
That's awesome. And that's the fun of March Madness is the underdogs. You know, so many people come in, they want to see that underdog action.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the betting that you get, because you got the food, you got the drinks, you got the games, you got the betting going on. Popular bets, do people like to just pick winners? Do they go with the money line? Is there live action? What's popular?
For the March Madness tournament, it tends to be more towards parlays. Like, people will do, like, eight-leg parlays. They'll just pick every game in the region, make that a ticket. Then they'll go to the next region, pick every game, make that a ticket. Then you've got the other type of better that they'll just go straight money lines on. They'll pick game by game and just try to, you know, win more than they lose doing that.
I know the last time we were here, we were talking about the, is it a smoker? The brisket, the brisket that you've got. Tell
yes.
us about that.
Oh, yeah. The brisket, we smoke it for hours, make sure it comes out absolutely perfect with a little bit of coating on it that just cooks in the flavor. And
gives you a little bit of a bite.
Oh, yeah.
Little spice to it.
Oh, yeah. Our new kitchen manager we just hired in a couple months back, he's really doing a good job for us and coming up with some nice food for us.
And so there's some new menu items, and that's another thing. If you haven't been here, come back and see us out here because you might enjoy some new menu items.
Oh, yeah, the chicken bombs seem to be the prime new mover going on right now. It's jalapenos and chicken wrapped in bacon.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with bacon.
No.
Right? I mean, everybody loves a little bacon.
Hey, yeah.
The other thing I know, you talked about the brisket mac and cheese. That's still popular?
Yeah, that's actually starting to tone down a little bit because people are going more towards the brisket tacos now that we're doing.
Well, see, that was what I had that day. See, it was probably me talking all about how much I enjoyed the brisket tacos.
They looked real good, I'll tell you that.
They were very good. And I did say next time I came out, I was going to try the mac and cheese. So maybe I'm backwards because, but, you know, the mac and cheese might be more popular as a winter food where, you know, your tacos are more of a summer delectable. All right. So, Brian, give us an idea. You've got plenty of specials, but you've also got some special hours. What's all happening here with the madness that we have? We have to be careful how we word this. But the madness that's going on, you've extended. Extended hours, got plenty of specials.
Yeah, because of the tournament going on, we're opening at 11 a.m. tomorrow instead of noon, so we can get everybody in, get their bets in before the noon games kick off. We also open at 11 on Saturday and Sunday, but that's our normal. And then we'll stay, like, for the championship game night, we will be open. We normally close at 10 on Monday nights, but we'll be open until the end of the game on that night, just so everybody can come out, make their bets, watch the game, and root home the team that will make them their money.
Yeah, I don't even know if that game starts until close to 9. But also, you were mentioning Saturday. It's a new season that begins. Well, I can't say it's a new season that begins, but we're getting right into the big part of the horse racing season, and obviously that's a big season for you. What are some of the things to look forward to from a horse racing perspective?
From the horse racing perspective, pretty much every Saturday between now and the end of April is prep races for the Kentucky Derby, because horses have to run in these stakes races to get enough points to qualify to be in that 20-horse field. So, like this Saturday, there's going to be two big races, and there'll be a couple more basically each Saturday, like I said. And, you know, you can come out and see the horses that you will be seeing on Kentucky Derby Day, so you have a little bit better idea of who might win that race. And, you know, we've had...
You mean you're not picking the horses just by the name? You actually know something about the horse?
Well, that's usually helpful, but last year we actually had somebody, she came in, she just bet by the look of the horse or the name. She just random picked. She hit a superfecta and won like $50,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
She bet $12 and won $50,000.
That's like somebody who fills out a bracket, does it just by mascot names, and they end up winning the pool, right?
And, you know, Kentucky Derby, in a way, is like the tournament that's going on right now, because with that many horses on the track, anything can happen.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't seem to always pan out the way you expect it to. And so with the Derby, I'm sure that's, you know, when you talk about biggest days of the year, I'm sure that's right up there at the top.
That is our biggest day, hands down. Everybody's packed in here, standing room only, but, you know, everybody has a great time. They come in, make their bets. Some of them will come in and early and leave, but then we have the people that come make a day of it. They come out to camp, and just we enjoy having them out here all day. It's fun to just hang out and just talk horses all day.
Well, that is one of the parts of the fun out here at Winner's Circle, and you know, I certainly hope some folks come out this weekend. Of course, you've got the games going on, and again, you're going to be open 11 o'clock tomorrow. Special hours to get everybody in, get their bets placed before the action begins, and we'll be here again tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for being out here. We love having you.
It's great to be here. That is Brian. He is the manager here at Winner's Circle out in New Haven, broadcasting live up until 6 o'clock today, 4 to 6 tomorrow, and you can easily find us. We're at the corner of Minnick and Highway 30. Just look for us. What Lutheran Health Network Plaza. And it's nice because you actually have a sign. So
we know
where we're going this time. We can't get lost. Come on out. We're here until 6 today. We hope to see you. All right, so, Adam, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that Purdue Fort Wayne went on the road last night. That's where I was, went over to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And what an easy trip. I did not realize just how quick it was to shoot over to Bowling Green.
The old hop, skip, and a jump.
90 minutes right on the button to get from campus to campus, and got over there to Bowling Green. And the Mastodons took on another MAC opponent. And as they have in the past, they beat a MAC opponent.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that, I don't know what it is, it's a mindset that I hear from people that they think of the MAC as a bigger conference or better conference than the Horizon League. And I think that is a perception based on the fact that because the Mid-American Conference plays football, that conference is higher in basketball rank than what it really is. And the Mastodons have had tremendous success against Mid-American Conference opponents. In fact, they're 10-7. They're actually 10-4 over the last 10 years against MAC opponents if you take out the 2017-18 season, where for some reason they had an 0-3 record against the MAC.
Sure.
But they're 10-7 over the last 11 seasons in their last 17 games against Mid-American Conference teams. And last night, what a game that they had against Bowling Green.
Great game. And like you said, I would put the top of the Horizon League against any team in the MAC any day, my friend. But yeah, it was just, I didn't see the game, but I was following along with some of your call throughout the night, and it sounded like it was a good Purdue-Fort Wayne start, and then Bowling Green kind of pulled back a little bit, but Purdue-Fort Wayne prevailed.
Yeah, it was really strange because I had the app open watching the women's score in real time.
Right.
And the women's game followed almost the exact same pattern as the men's game. Huh. In other words, early on, it was close, but, you know, the men and the women were both down 2 or 3 points during timeouts, and it's like, okay, so we've got about the same situation going at both Bowling Green and for the women at home against Eastern Kentucky. And then the Mastodon men went on a 13-point run. And at almost the same time, the women went on a 16-point run. And they both took control of the game and then carried that into the halftime locker room. And then the second half, what happens? The opponent starts to close the gap. And Bowling Green makes the big run against the men while the women are fighting off Eastern Kentucky. And in both cases, the Mastodons fell behind. And again, Adam, it happened at almost the same time. And, of course, you have halves with the men and you have quarters with the women, so it's a little different. Like, it's early fourth quarter versus just past the halfway point of the second half for the men. But it was like, you know how twins, like, sometimes they can tell what the other twin is doing?
ESP.
Yeah, and so it was almost like that. It's like, okay, these two programs are playing identical games with the same trends, and eventually, the outcome turned out to be basically the same. The women did pull away and won by 8, where the men had to get a bucket with 18 seconds left from Eric Mulder to get the two-point win and then get a defensive stop on the final possession. But and what a play by Anthony Roberts. He's got 1,997 points in his career. A win in that game last night, and he's going to have a chance to get 3 points in the next game, which, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but come on.
I think he'll get it.
Needed just 3 points, and he'll go to 2,000 for his basketball-playing career. Well, the amazing thing was on that final possession, he was the one that came up with the game-saving block and was able to keep the ball alive so the Dons could get the rebound, and Bowling Green didn't have an easy putback. And because of that, the Dons are advancing, and we now know that the Dons are going to play Monday night down in Texas against Tarleton State. Of course, our quiz of the day, Adam, is where is Tarleton State?
Well, I know it's in Texas. It's in Stephenville, Texas, actually.
Caleb is over here shaking his head like he knows. That's only because I didn't ask him the question. Caleb has no idea. He's just shaking his head like, yeah, that sounds really good to me. It is in Stephenville or Stephensville?
Stephenville.
Oh, okay.
With one or the other.
All I know is I believe you fly into Dallas.
Okay. Also, just wanted to let you know, Brett, from the Purdue women's basketball Twitter, they're saying they'll play Cincinnati on Sunday at 2 p.m.
Okay, so now that is final. At Cincinnati.
Yes.
So the women will be on the road Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. The men will play on Monday night at Tarleton State in Stephenville, Texas, about an hour outside of Fort Worth on Monday night, and we will have that broadcast for you on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Hey, I got big news coming up at the top of the hour. The Comets are going to announce a major trade.
Ooh.
I don't know who, I don't know what, but it's supposed to be released at 5 o'clock today. So we will come back at the top of the hour and give you details on what the Comets are doing. They are in almost must-win mode now for the rest of the season to try to secure their playoff spot. All right, coming up, we've got Purdue taking on Grambling. What do we think about the matchup? What are some of the keys? Also coming up, Eric Duke-Kevis joins us in hour number two. We've got the games going on, and we are broadcasting live. You can come on out here and join us at Winner's Circle in New Haven with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.